When Sean O'Keefe was picked to head NASA last year, few employees had a clear idea who or what he was. Most of NASA's past administrators had space in their bones. One had flown as an astronaut, others were aerospace industry giants, or at least had degrees in physics. But O'Keefe's expertise is in public administration and financial management, and that makes him very different from the core of NASA's 18,000 employees, some of whom have spent their lives dreaming about landing spacecraft on comets or visiting other worlds. NPR's David Kestenbaum recently caught up with Sean O'Keefe at his office in Washington.
Maybe it's the giant NASA logo in the carpet, or the fact that the offices are numbered in some obscure system used on Navy vessels, but O'Keefe's corner of NASA headquarters feels a bit like a spaceship. You expect to see Darth Vader or some droids running around. There aren't. Sean O'Keefe is a human. He's got a white bushy mustache, a tie, and a deep affection for spreadsheets. He keeps a ceremonial container of beans close at hand.
And the inscription on it is, "Bean counters are people too."
It's a gift from some management colleagues. A congressman had said he was a little nervous that a bean counter had been appointed to head NASA. And that was O'Keefe's response. Bean counters are people too. Bean counters are people too. Meaning what? Meaning maybe NASA needs a good accountant. When the space station was first proposed, it priced out at $8 billion. By some estimates, it's now going to cost $100 billion. In the old days, that might have been okay.
The period of time that most characterizes the history of this agency is certainly that Apollo era, which developed in that time, I think, a mindset and a culture that said the objective is paramount and it costs what it costs in order to get there. Well, since the 1960s, the expectations have risen of what it is this agency is capable of doing and what we should be focused on to really push that edge of the envelope in order to explore this last frontier, this immense frontier of what is the universe. And it now requires that we have a greater, clearer understanding of what things cost, not just in terms of money, but in terms of people and time and capability, all those things. Because once you expend all those capabilities in any one area or another, it's not available to go expend somewhere else.
This is not the stuff of Buck Rogers comics. It's the stuff of Dilbert cartoons. But O'Keefe says it's critical, as is defining clear goals. One political scientist says for O'Keefe to succeed, the space station has to succeed or appear to succeed. It must become something NASA can talk about with pride. The Apollo mission, you knew when you succeeded, right? You put someone on the moon, took a step out, you put up the flag and you came home. How do you measure success for something like the space station?
It is a remarkable capability that we cannot duplicate here on Earth. There is no way that you can conduct your research in any laboratory condition that comes anywhere near close to what you achieve on International Space Station. So the demonstration of its utility is going to come when that first major breakthrough occurs. And it's not a question of if, it's a question of when that happens.
Critics say that O'Keefe, so good with financial calculus, is hoping for a miracle here. So far, low-gravity research hasn't generated any breakthroughs, and human spaceflight takes up nearly half of NASA's $15 billion budget. The rest of the budget funds things like the Hubble telescope and missions to Mars, and here O'Keefe has leeway to do more than impose fiscal discipline. He can take NASA somewhere new. O'Keefe is pushing an initiative to develop highly efficient nuclear propulsion systems and nuclear power generators. With current technology, he says it will take over a decade to reach somewhere like Pluto.
We travel right now at speeds that are roughly the same as John Glenn did 40 years ago. We haven't done anything to improve our pace and speed by which we travel for the purpose of exploration.
This is the dilemma. Seen from one perspective, NASA, unlike, say, the Department of Transportation, is an agency responsible for dreaming on behalf of the American public. Work here and thinking about alien life forms might actually be part of your day job. But seen another way, NASA is a big bureaucracy with 18,000 employees, Congress to deal with, and a limited budget. O'Keefe's predecessor, Dan Golden, was a visionary. Employees describe him as the kind of captain who liked to march around the deck shouting. O'Keefe is a different kind of leader who likes to check the maps and know how the engines work.
And this is an agency that is just big enough to be exotic, but not so big that you can't get your arms around it. As a consequence, the basic principles of management work here as well as it does in any organizational structure you can imagine. And what's really remarkably different, though, about this institution is that there is a raw enthusiasm, an energy, an absolute passion for what people do. That's an easy situation to walk into because it doesn't take a whole lot. It means pick a direction, stick to it, don't be ambiguous, and get about the business of achieving the objective.
I ask O'Keefe if he shared that raw enthusiasm for space as a kid, and he gives a general answer about how all kids like dinosaurs in space, and you'd have to worry about one that didn't. I ask again.
No comment. I think certainly my lineage would not suggest that I've been dedicated to this particular field all of my life. No, that's a matter of record. That's not been the case of the motivation. But in terms of it, you know, the exploration objectives is no doubt about it. This is something I think that appeals to every human. The opportunity to have a chance to lead it is a privilege that I'm still stunned that the president would entrust this to me.
There is one precedent for a person like Sean O'Keefe at NASA's helm. Next to O'Keefe's beans sits a biography of former NASA Administrator James Webb. Like O'Keefe, Webb had no experience in engineering or rockets or science. He had a talent for budgets. And Webb was the man who quietly put the first man on the moon. In pictures, he's often standing behind astronauts or behind President Kennedy, rarely in front. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.